Hi, friends, and welcome back to the Cozy Club. I'm Reagan.
And I'm Monica.
And welcome to our little warm hug in podcast form for all the soft hearts out there. Grab a warm drink and join us for wholesome books, games, stories, and more. We're so excited to be back with our official season 2, episode 1. And this season is going to be oriented all with the spring season. When Monica and I were kind of planning our podcast vibe, we sort of knew we wanted to make each section of this podcast line up with the season, because we both feel that the season kind of brings new habits or different hopes, dreams, and just in general, like cozy activities. So
agreed.
So with that in mind, we're so excited to talk about some of our recent faves and the things we're most excited about for this upcoming springtime. You know what I mean? But before we dive into more details, including our book club pick for this season, if you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on your podcast app of choice. And if you feel so inclined, leave a review, as it does help us out so much. But I'm going to throw it over to Monica and she's going to chat all things book club, because the book is so very exciting for us.
So exciting. Yes, we are very hyped for our next book club pick, which is Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies by Heather Fawcett. Yes, we're so hyped. This is one that we've both been just really excited to dive into. It's gotten a lot of comparison specifically to Howl's Moving Castle, which we both adore. So once we heard that, we knew we had to read it and thought that a lot of you might also be interested in reading it with us. So if you would like to pick it up, our plan is to have our discussion be on April 20th. So you have plenty of time to pick it up and read it and send us in your thoughts. And you can send those into cozyclubpodcast@gmail.com. But a little bit about the book. So this book, we follow a curmudgeonly professor named Emily Wilde, who journeys to a small town in the far north to study fairy folklore. And while she's there, she discovers dark fairy magic, friendship, and love. It's supposed to be a really heartwarming and enchanting fantasy story. And we're so excited to read it with you all.
One of my favorite parts of this book, too, is it follows Emily Wilde as she's kind of pursuing her dissertation, because she's like at the top of her field and like fae, I don't know, knowledge. But at the very beginning of the book, her annoying coworker basically appears in this town, and he's incredibly charismatic and quickly wins over the hearts of everyone. And then I think they like begrudgingly, or she begrudgingly, begins to work with him. I think it's like one of the best combinations that I'm always obsessed with, which is like cute rom-com story with a dash of fantasy. And I truly cannot wait to watch the whole thing unfold.
Yes, and we love a good rivals to lovers story.
Oh, it's just too good. Especially when it's like grumpy and sunshine. And I think it's interesting. I think usually in like rom-com stories, like the women tend to be the quote unquote sunshine element. So I think it could be, I love the reversal of that. I'm excited to see it all play out.
I'm so excited.
So yes, that is our book club pick. I also think rather seasonally appropriate, you know, fae, lush landscapes, gets you really into the spring mood, the spring vibe, which I think leads us into our next topic, which is just kind of chatting about spring, like our favorite parts of the season and what specifically we're looking forward to. So for me, I think spring has like different places in my heart, like depending where I live. So I've grew up in Texas, and ironically, everyone's going to be like, I feel like if you live in the Northeast, what I'm about to say is not going to make any sense to you, but it makes sense if you're from the South, and that March is my favorite time of year. And it wasn't until I moved somewhere that had real winter that I realized March is actually the worst month out of the year for a lot of people. But it's because Texas is so hot. So starting like end of May, it's already blistering. But March tends to be the beginning of like our beautiful spring season. It's like 70s, 80s, maybe 60s. And it's also when all of like the trees come back to life, like everywhere else, but it's just a lot warmer, I guess, than everywhere else at start of spring. So we have all of our wildflowers begin to appear, and Texas has some beautiful wildflowers that are just everywhere. There was like this program that was done in the 50s where basically they just sprinkle wildflower seeds everywhere. So there's like bluebonnets. It's really cute. It's like one of the only cute things about Texas. But so all that to say is like I always look forward to March every year because it's just wonderful weather. It's like, ooh, we're shaking off the dregs of winter and things are slowly going to come back to life. And then into April, it's also nice, but by May, it's already hot. So I feel like March and April are like my favorite Texas months, personally speaking.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I really love kind of similarly, kind of like another sort of geo-based thing that I'm excited for. I just love the, like, vibe of New York City when the season starts to shift from winter to spring and, like, people stop, you know, wearing these super heavy jackets and just, like, people are spending more time outside. Some of the, like, outdoor dining options open up. And it's just, like, there's just, like, this feeling that happens, especially, like, in the evening, because there's just, like, this sense of, like, freedom that comes along with the warmer weather here that I don't even know how to, like, fully describe. But if, like, if I could bottle a feeling, it would be, like, running around New York City at 11 p.m. when it's, like, the first few days of it being really warm. Like, there's just something so specifically magical about that. And it's kind of started a little bit, maybe a little bit early. Like, it was 60 the other day here, and I was like, this doesn't feel right, but here we go. But yeah, I'm excited for, I love, like, Coney Island and stuff, but I love it during the early season when it's, one, not so busy, and two, like, overcast and not hot, because I'm not really a beach person, to be honest. But I love, like, a chilly beach day. So I'm also excited for that.
I love chilly beaches. I feel like people don't sing the praises of a cold, austere beach moment enough.
I mean, Lana Del Rey did, right? Lana and Taylor. Fair play. Snow on the beach.
Snow on the beach. Weird. Yeah. But fucking beautiful. Right? I agree.
Same way.
No, like, yeah, and spring in New York is really beautiful because there's so many flowering trees in New York, and I feel like everything sort of just, like, bursts with life. And walking around, it's still really chilly, I'll give it that, but it's really pretty. It's like the city has all this, like, ornamentation all of a sudden, you know. And there's so many
cherry blossom season.
Yeah,
although I don't think I'll be here for it this year.
Oh yeah, we'll be seeing cherry blossoms abroad
in another place,
in another place, if you will. But yeah, I don't know. I just am a sucker for a flower. Anywhere, at any time of year. I love, Monica and I are, like, old people. Like, anytime we've traveled together, we always go to, like, a botanical garden or, you know, any type of thing. And it's just us and the retirees. And we're all just strolling along, having a great time. But you know what? The beauty of a flower is rarely matched. It's just a stunning experience. And there's so many different types of flowers depending on the season. It's just delightful. I love it all. And specifically for me, in Austin, there's a place called the Wildflower Center. And I haven't been in so long. And so one of my goals for this spring season is to, like, make a point to go. And we have, like, a decent botanical garden here too. I mean, it's nothing like, you know, the New York Botanical Garden. But it is cute. And I will, you know, be there strolling along. You can get, like, a beer and walk around. It's pretty fun, you know, looking at the flowers. Lovely. But yeah, I just love a stroll and a little looky-loo at the wildlife. And I feel that with spring, things are finally coming back from the dead. All the barren trees are regrowing their hair.
That might be a good segue to one of the exciting places that we're going to this spring together, which is our Korea trip, which is so exciting. And that's coming up so soon.
So soon. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, wait, there's so much I need to do. Like, I want to get a new coat. You know, I want a coat moment. You know what I mean? But I'm so excited to go to Korea. It's going to be such an incredible experience to travel there with you. And I'm so excited about the group of travelers who's going to be coming with us. I think we're all going to have so much fun together. And during the season, I think it's peach and cherry blossom. So hopefully they'll be, like, in peak bloom. So I don't know. I always love experiencing cities in different seasons too. So it'll be fun maybe to come back one day, like, during a different time of year. But spring is always one of the most delightful times.
Yeah, I'm really excited for our, like, post-Korea episode where we can, like, share all of our stories and stuff. But I know both of us are also going a little bit early. I'm going along with my family, which will be crazy because it's going to be, like, basically three generations of us because it's my mom and then me and my sister and my niece. So, and all going to Korea together. So we'll be there for, like, the first 2 weeks kind of traveling around. I think we're going to try and go to, like, my mom's hometown and then a couple other places. So yeah, I think that's going to be just really special. And also, I'm, like, a little bit stressed about it just because, like, there's so much to still plan, specifically that part, not for the week that it's the our trip together, because like that's already been planned for us, so I'm really excited about that. And yeah, I just like, especially all the different activities that we have for that trip are so unique, and I feel like the kind of things that like I would never be able to plan like separately or on my own. So I think that'll be really, really special and exciting.
Lots and we do have
so many core memories. And we do have, if anyone was not able to book with us for Korea, we have another trip that we're doing to Vietnam in the fall, which I think is going to be ideal because it's going to be kind of like not chilly, but like not as hot.
I think it'll be like in the 80s. It'll still be very warm.
Yeah, very warm, but like not horrible, you know? And again, like all the activities in that trip just are so unique and unlike anything that I think I could experience.
One of the trips for Vietnam that I'm especially excited about for Vietnam is we get to do like this bike ride through one of the local farms, because it's a food oriented trip, which is just amazing in itself. So it's cool that we get to visit like one of the farms to see one, the production, and then we, you know, we get a tour and we do like a bike ride through the fields. I just think that's like, I mean, what, I wouldn't even know where to begin to set something like that up. So like, it just seems like such a unique experience to be able to like, you know, think back on one day.
For sure.
I also love that you're going to Korea with your family. I think that's going to be so beautiful.
Yeah,
I can't wait to hear all about it. I love your family.
It'll be so chaotic.
It's going to be great. I can't wait to hear all the deets.
Oh, I'll probably like all the details.
Oh, I can't wait. Because I'm going with Clay for about a week or so before. And I don't know. We're going to Busan, which is exciting. But really, I keep asking him, like, what do you want to do? He's like, I just want to drink chicken and beer. Eat chicken enough. And drink beer. And I'm like, all right. He's like, it's like
doable.
Just trying to emulate all the K-dramas that I made him watch.
I love this.
And then our next, is that spring still? When does summer officially start? June?
I think not until like June, July.
Well, strap in everybody, because our other activity we have this spring, which we're very excited about, is Taylor Swift Eras Tour, which it's going to be a blast. I still need an outfit plan for that. Which me Monica's too. Wardrobe is just geared for a Taylor Swift concert. So like, she's got options. I have no idea what I'm going to wear.
It's going to be so fun. We like struggled for these tickets.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be a celebration the night that we get to go.
It's like, not only is it going to be a fun concert, but just thinking about what we had to go through to acquire these tickets, I feel like it'll make it all the sweeter, you know?
Yeah. Genuinely.
Impeccable. Maybe we'll do a Taylor Swift episode.
Oh my gosh.
Talk about the set list, talk about our favorite songs, you know, moments from the experience, all that.
A little debrief. Can't wait to cry to Phoebe Bridgers.
I guess speaking of Korea, because it made me think about like how I need to buy things. Like, I have these like visions of what I want to look like. So I'm like, I'm not trying to buy too much, but like, I want to get like this oversized trench coat, I think, for the spring. And I thought that would look cute in Korea. Yeah, but in general, though, I'm just excited for, I feel like with any change of season, it's like kind of a little mini refresh for your life. And I'm excited about like getting back to some clothes I haven't been able to wear for a minute because it's been too cold, and just spring fashion in general, you know?
Is there any like specific style you're really like excited to like play with this spring or want
to
try out?
I feel like I'm trying to not shop too much. So I'm really trying to like embrace my own wardrobe and maybe like reconfigure my own wardrobe in different ways. You know what I mean? Like, because sometimes I feel like I have outfits that I just go back to over and over again, and I love those outfits, but then maybe I don't think about how I can pair those pieces with different things for like a different vibe, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
Something I am trying to, I've been like toiling over this for, it sounds so dramatic, but I've been contemplating getting red cowboy boots for like years.
For so long.
So long.
Reagan, how many times have you texted me, should I get red cowboy boots?
Okay, I think part like of it is because years.
Literally, just buy the red cowboy boots. Just please, after we're done recording,
buy them. Okay, it's because I feel like I grew up in Texas and I was such an alt girl. But I was like, I will never wear Western wear. And I have nothing against Western wear, but I was just like this scene kid. I was like, you'll never catch me in cowboy boots. But now it's like having a moment, and they're so cute with dresses, like a little vintage moment. And I just feel all this, like, I have this dissonance inside. Like, I'm like, oh, those are so cute. And then I have like 15-year-old me that's like, I would never be caught dead in those. You know what I mean? And I need to get over it, because
you do, and you need to go buy them. Simply, I cannot believe.
I want them so bad. I think they look so good with all of my little prairie dresses.
Yeah, they would.
Listen, what so about funny. You? What about you? Okay, let's move on. No, no more roasting me about my lack of cowboy boots. Called out.
So I think for me, I guess I'll call myself out here now, but I'm kind of getting into jeans recently.
Okay. I saw you post about that. I was like, this is a new page for Monica.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm like the only person to be like, yeah, this is a big stretch for me.
It is, but it, like, to emphasize, it is. Like, Monica never wears jeans.
Yeah, so I'm like, I don't know. I, like, got a pair of jeans, and I was like, oh, wow, I actually kind of like these, so maybe I should get some more jeans. I think jean in general, girl. I've just been wanting to, like, incorporate some things into my wardrobe that for a while I really shunned, like, very aggressively. I think, like, a few years ago, I just, like, had this moment where, because, you know, I had just entered the corporate world, and I think one of the things that you kind of, at least when, like, I was joining that whole world, it was like very much like girl boss era. And so a lot of it was like, you have to, you know, behave like a man and dress like a man and like push down anything feminine about yourself. And like that was always perceived or talked about in this very negative way. Like even just in how you talk to other people, like, oh, like be super assertive, be super aggressive. And I just like immediately, and like this might just be me being like a fire sign, and like as soon as you tell me to do something, I will like do the opposite. I will want to do the exact opposite. Yeah. And so, and I have this like bit of a rebellious like spirit in me, and so as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, no, we're going hyper feminine. We are going to do the exact opposite. We are going to be wearing tutus as a political statement. And and so that was like a big thing that I like based my whole identity around, was like, I aggressively love the color pink, I love puffy dresses, I love bows and like all this stuff. And I genuinely do love all of that, and I've loved it since I was a toddler. But I think in doing that, I kind of like made these like weird rules for myself about like not being able to wear t-shirts and not being able to wear jeans and like not being able to wear anything casual. And I think recently I've just realized that there can be a happy medium there. And I kind of want to just like play with that a bit more. And also I think for a while I had this like idea in my head that in order for me to like be interesting, I also had to be wearing something like flamboyant and over the top and interesting. And I like based a lot of my like social anxiety almost around that. And I feel like I'm getting better about that now, and I'm realizing that, and it's helping me like just feel like, okay, like obviously like I still love fun, creative fashion, but like I kind of want to see how I can incorporate that into a more casual vibe. So I think that's like the main thing that I kind of want to play with this spring, is just like finding that side of my fashion. At the same time, I also am trying to just like downsize my wardrobe and like just downsize a lot in general. But yeah, so that's sort of what I'm looking forward to this season.
I think that's a beautiful, you know, perspective to have, a little introspective moments, you know what I mean? I think similarly, I went through, like, in terms of associating certain things with your identity and how you want to present yourself, I think I was a little, I wasn't working in that girl boss era, but I think I definitely, when I went through high school and then early college, I definitely had some like internalized misogyny and how I wanted to be perceived, in that I didn't want to be, you know, wearing dresses, or I only wanted to wear like I was very grunge. You know what I mean? Which I'm not even saying grunge is misogynistic, but I think how I was portraying myself was like, I want to be perceived as not girly. You know what I mean? I think your journey is a little different because, like, I think your rebellion against that is like a beautiful thing versus mine was like lame, completely lame. And I think I too like went through kind of a journey where I was like, no, I'm going to wear like very dress, like lots of dresses and like hyper feminine to me, like dresses. And I feel like during 6 months out of the year, basically all I wear are dresses because it's also hot. Like, I don't
Yeah, they're just comfy.
They're good for airflow.
People always think you're so dressed up when like we wear dresses.
It's one piece. It's like,
yeah, you literally throw it on. It's a nightgown.
It's one decision. It's like literally a decision. Basically a nice looking. And then imagine that with red cowboy boots.
Yeah, imagine that. Oh my gosh, wait. Era's tour outfit idea. You wear your red cowboy boots. I wear my pink cowboy boots.
And we could do pink and red.
Yeah. Just an idea.
I could be red. You could be lover.
Yeah. Yes. We have to do this. Now you have
like
to buy them.
We went from just like, yeah, that sounds cute, to like putting two and two together.
I'm imagining it. It's going to be so cute.
I agree.
You have no excuse to not buy these cowboy boots now.
Oh, I know. Well, now if it's for Taylor, it's gotta happen. We'll figure it out. I guess outside of like fashion and travel, is there like one key thing that's like marked on your calendar media wise that you're like, I cannot wait for this to come out?
Absolutely. And it is Shadow and Bone season 2 because Nikolai Lansov. Oh my gosh. Nikolai Lansov, who's the love of my life, who is a character who pops up in Shadow and Bone. So for those of you who are not familiar, Shadow and Bone is a series by Leigh Bardugo, who is an absolute queen, an icon, a legend. She is the epitome of the word mother. She's everything to me.
She is mother.
She is mother. Absolutely an icon. And I love everything that she writes and everything she does. And Shadow and Bone is just a piece of genius YA fantasy. And I'm so excited for season 2. And specifically, there's this character, Nikolai Lansov, who is just a charming, brooding, hilarious prince, uber like Leo energy. I don't even know. Like, I just love him so much. Probably one of my favorite literary characters of all time. And he is coming in this. I love him with my whole heart.
He wasn't in season 1 at all, right?
No, not at all.
Have they revealed anything about his character, like in promo or anything?
We just know who the actor is. And I'm reserving judgment.
Oh.
Nothing bad. Oh my gosh. I just like... Anyways...
We'll see how he embodies the character. Well, is that
yes,
what you're saying?
That's
like,
all that
you
matters.
Might just need to see it in situ, you know?
Yes. Because you know what?
That's
like,
valid.
Nikolai Lansov reminds me in spirit of, like, if anyone listening watched Gilmore Girls, which probably if you're listening, you have watched Gilmore Girls, reminds me a lot of, wait, why am I blanking on? Of Logan. Oh my gosh. Reminds me so
Logan.
Much of Logan.
You are a Logan girly too.
Yes. Here's the thing. You give me a blonde boy who has severe daddy issues, who's rich. I'm in.
It's
I'm
over.
Sold. That's all I need.
Done and done. I mean, not to like Gilmore Girls sidetrack, but like I just never understood. Like, I feel like I'm getting a lot of TikToks recently about, it was like, at least Logan was self-aware. Versus, like, Rory was, like, not self-aware, you know?
Yeah.
I think the older I get, the more I'm like, well, Logan would have been a practical pairing. Like, oh, sorry, you don't want to travel the world and have an Hermes bag? Like, ooh, cry about it. You know what I mean? Like, ugh.
Yeah. I definitely think the older I've gotten, the more I've been, like, frustrated with Rory and, like just across the board with all of the guys.
I know.
But especially with Logan. Like, fumbled that bag so hard. I guess it doesn't really matter for her because she is like
fumbled the bag.
Wealthy.
Fumbled the Birkin bag.
Fumbled the Birkin bag. But I simply would not have fumbled that bag.
Held on for dear life.
Genuinely. And then my other favorite TV show, man, also Logan, but from Veronica Mars, also a blonde rich boy with daddy issues.
So. Oh my god, you really have a type.
I do. If Nikolai had just been named Logan,
it would have been the crossover we were all waiting for.
Genuinely. But yeah, I'm excited for this season. I'm excited to just see what they do because I think they're changing a lot. I think a lot of people had the assumption that they were going to be doing, because the Shadow and Bone show is like a combination of all of the books. And so I think a lot of people thought that this was going to be the season of Six of Crows, but apparently not. Apparently that's still coming later, which worries me because Netflix does not have the greatest track record of keeping shows after three seasons. So here's hoping people watch and it does really well.
That's true. I'll be watching. Yeah. For me, so I think the show I'm most excited about that's coming out is Mandalorian Season 3. I think just like Pedro Pascal is like really taken over my life, especially watching him play the reluctant father role.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is a manifestation of my own daddy issues. Like, who knows? But but obviously I'm watching The Last of Us right now, which is impeccable, incredible. Yeah, and it's so like the same thing. Yeah, I love The Last of Us. And they're very like, I'm not saying he's playing the same character, but it's the same trope. Like, reluctant father figure.
I love that.
Going on a solo quest with quippy sidekick. And it's just, like, grumpy. And it's so charming amongst this, like, horrifying landscape, which is The Last of Us. And then with The Mandalorian, it's the same thing. But he's just wearing a helmet. And he has Baby Yoda. And I also think...
We both have types.
Clearly. I also think... I loved Mandalorian seasons 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't by any means fall off the Star Wars fandom, but I just found the other shows to be a little less compelling. But then Andor was so fantastic that I feel like just really pumped. And then I read into, you know, because Disney does those roadmaps for like their franchises. Then the next upcoming shows I'm so pumped for. I've been saying this for years, basically ever since they announced they're going to start doing Star Wars shows. And that is, I think the Star Wars universe is so exciting, and it's a universe. You can go on any planet, any vibe. You can also make it a really small scale story or a really large scale story. Like, you have so much options. You have an entire universe to kind of play with. And really, until Andor, and I guess The Mandalorian, everything has just been on Tatooine, which is cool, desert vibes, but it's like, there are quite literally a million planets we could go to. Anyway, I've been saying Star Wars could be such a cool setting to have like a noir style detective story.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making one.
Ooh.
And I can't wait. That was like a hard pivot. Rom-com. But, oh my God. Exactly. Why not? Do it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think they should be doing all genres. Because it's a whole world.
Yeah.
It doesn't all need to be. Like, wouldn't it be cool to have like a romance, or like it could be a rom-com. You could also have like an emotional romance too.
Yeah.
Of just like normal people like living their life, and then like there's some sort of disruption because of the Empire or something.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like that's what I like about like some of the Marvel shows recently that have come out, like that just feel a lot smaller and more like grounded.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And they're more experimental. And I think that's also why I like Andor so much. Like Andor was fantastic and just really focused on like one character, so it was like kind of espionage-y too. It was just very well acted and well done. So I'm just excited for these like smaller scale Star Wars shows, but I am also very excited to see Pedro Pascal and Baby Yoda once more. I feel like it's like Pedro Pascal's world right now. We're all just living in it. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I keep getting personally. TikToks. I've not watched a single thing that man has been in.
You gotta. I wonder what, like, I think The Last of Us might be too scary for you, but I can watch it.
Can I admit something?
Please.
So, everyone's been, like, live tweeting this show, and before I quit Twitter, I would see people live tweeting it, and I was like, and I didn't know that this show existed, so I thought everyone was live tweeting that, like, This Is Us show, and I was like, what the heck happened? Like,
where did the show go?
Yeah, they literally really like took it somewhere different. It took me a while to figure out that that is not what people were tweeting about.
The final season of This Is Us is a zombie outbreak.
I mean, who knows?
Who knows? Okay, do we want to move into on that Nikolai fanfic? Do we want to talk about our recent favorites? Any like random recent things that have brought joy into your life?
Yeah, I think for me, I've just been like in such a music mood recently. Like, I'm just
in your
like,
groupie era.
Yeah, in my groupie era. And also just like, I don't know what it, I feel like some like shift happened in me, and like all I want to do is like listen to music and analyze lyrics and cry to them and just all of that. And so there have been a few things that have come out that have really just like let me like fully indulge in that. And so the first one is the new Lana Del Rey song, A&W. Have you heard it?
I've heard parts.
Oh my gosh.
So it's just one song. It's not an album.
It's one song. It's one long song. 7 minutes long.
Oh, wow.
It is a journey of a song. It's like, first of all, if you've been a Lana, like for anyone listening, like who's been a Lana fan, like this song like feels like the culmination of all of her eras in like just the best way. It's so wild to listen to. And I've been a Lana fan like pre-SNL appearance, which is like a scary thing to bring up for Lana fans because that was like horrifying. Basically, she was like, it was 11 years ago. I actually Googled it recently to like rewatch it.
I watched it recently. I didn't think it was that bad.
I didn't think it was that bad either. But I just remember like being, I hyped up this performance so much. I was so excited. And then everyone just roasted her. And anyways, so I love Lana and I've loved her various eras. And this one, it just like shows so much growth for her as a songwriter and as a musician. Mm-hmm. And like the song itself just like feels like a journey. Like it goes through so many different like styles of music, and ooh, like the storytelling of it all is so evocative and ooh, like dark. It's pretty dark as a song. Like it's basically about her experiences as a woman, and there's some sort of theories around what she's talking about, and I don't really want to get into all of that because it's like pretty heavy, but it's Googleable if you want to Google it. But yeah, it's just brilliant, and I've listened to it pretty much every day, and like multiple
times
a day.
I'll listen to it after this, after we finish recording, and I'll text you. Is she announced a new album?
Yeah, so it's coming out this spring, and I'm very excited for that.
Well, spring of the season of Lana Del Rey.
Genuinely.
Rename the podcast.
It's with Jack Antonoff. So
oh, no. Is he just with everyone that we like
all the girlies.
To?
Yeah.
And Maddie Healy.
And Maddie Healy. Yeah. I'm really, really hoping that, because I'm going to this festival that the 1975 is putting on this summer, and my dream is that she's performing at it because they're friends, and also Jack is performing as bleachers. So I'm like, please. Because that would just be a dream come true. And it's already like just only the saddest musicians playing at this festival.
Listen, I'm a sad girl, so
I love
that. Sounds
girl.
Like a blast. Sad Girl, yeah, Spring, so with a new Lana album. Wait, I can't wait.
Genuinely,
with my cowboy boots, it's going to be a vibe.
Red cowboy boots with a new Lana album.
With my little headphones, I look like Christmas, like walking around.
Amazing.
That's amazing. Well, that's so exciting. I do feel like you're definitely like Tumblr music moment. Like you are, you know what I mean? Like in the best way possible. Like listening and vibing and doing your analysis. I really like that for you. You should go to like coffee shops and like get a little journal.
Oh my gosh. I do not have a journal in my bag. I mean, I guess I always do, but I should go to coffee shops and do that from now on.
Mm-hmm.
The other
your little music analysis.
Yes. But the other act that I'm super excited about is Boy Genius. Have you listened to their new music?
No.
Oh my goodness.
I'm getting all these notes.
Boy Genius is basically a super group of three amazing women.
Oh my God.
We have Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers, and Lucy Dacus. And it is like their music together, it's just like the most beautiful, like,
okay, I saw this Rolling Stones shoot.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Sensational. They recreated the like Nirvana cover, and the whole idea of like Boy Genius is like making fun of the like concept of like how men are like called genius.
And there's those super bands of like of the past era, like sometimes bands would like come together. Oh my God, this is so smart. I'm obsessed.
Yes. Oh my gosh, you're gonna love. I'm so excited for you to be able to like to listen. So they already had an album like a couple of years ago, and it's beautiful. It is one of the like most stunning pieces of music ever created. I love it so much. And then they just came out with three new songs. My favorite one is $20, but all of them are beautiful, and I just, wow, like I just feel like I'm thriving with my
March
sad
31st
songs. Yes.
Oh, I just love sad songs,
but yeah, I'm very excited. And they're also rumored to potentially be going to Finsbury, and if that happens, oh, you will hear
my
screams
gosh
from around the world.
Monica will reach Nirvana.
I will.
I feel like, okay, my recent favorites, okay, first I feel like I have to tell you this because I've discovered cleanser, which is ridiculous. Okay, context. I have really sensitive dry skin. And I wash my face. Like, please understand, I've washed my face before cleanser. But I usually, for a long time, I would try cleansers and they would like mess up my skin. My skin would just not like them. And I always would talk to Monica about this. And I'd be like, there's got to be something wrong with me. Like, clearly, like, everyone's always using like their double cleansing, their triple cleansing. And I've got nothing. I got nothing, you know? And if you're not familiar, I'm sure you might be, but a cleanser you clean your face with, right? And so anyway, though, I discovered my perfect cleanser and it has changed my skincare routine. And I've been meaning to text you about this. Okay, so it's the Elemis Hydrating Dry Cleanser.
Yeah.
And it goes on like a lotion. So you put it on with your skin is dry and you like rub it into your skin. You like warm it up. It's like a lotion. And I'm like, ooh, hydrating. Then you go in and wash it off. And I tell you, my skin is like so soft afterwards. It's so, no dry patches, no irritation. I've been using it for like months, like pretty consistently for like a few months now, 10 out of 10. I now have a cleanser and I finally feel like my skincare is like complete.
I love this journey for you.
It's like, you have to understand, it's been years long.
It has. It's been I've been here for it.
So I've just been meaning to tell you, I found a cleanser. So it's big news. Big news on the, from the home front.
I love that. Elemis is great. I have loved
everything. I use their oil too. Their superfood oil, which I also like. So apparently I'm an Elemis stan. So there we go. That. Oh, what else? This is like so random, but something I've been doing that has been bringing me a lot of like, just like a small moment of joy because the weather's been getting a little nicer is I've been walking to get smoothies like a couple times during the week. And it's like such a nice little treat. And you have to, you know, Monica lives in New York. So she's like, whatever, who cares? I walk everywhere and get all types of things. But when you leave New York, at least for me, I got sad because it's like I could walk, but there's no route to a place usually.
Yeah.
But I found a good route to a place to get a delicious snack. And so like I feel like I've been going hard on this route. And I'm like, time to go get a smoothie. Time to go walk my route. And it's like the perfect distance where it's like an activity, but it's not so long where you feel like you've been walking 2 hours to get one thing. It's been a real game changer. Clay and I go on it a lot and we talk about how it's the perfect route. So
I love this.
Just thought I'd share that too.
Little like old couple activity.
Literally, I'm an old woman.
It's amazing. Not that I can judge. Do you have a favorite smoothie that you always get?
So I have a palate sometimes of like a toddler. So, okay, I'm like a big creature of habit, I feel like. I feel like for some things, like I'm very adventurous when it comes to food, but when it comes to certain treats, I don't like to change from what I like. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So anyway, I get the same smoothie every time. And it's called the Berry Godmother. It's pineapple juice, raspberries, blackberries, blueberries, and then I add spinach. And it's just very berries. It's all berries. It's like very sweet. Very sweet, but also tart. Divine. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Amazing. And that's literally the smoothie I make in my house too. Like it's like literally all I drink. If I'm making myself a smoothie, it's also that.
I do remember you making me a smoothie once and it being very good.
It was that. I've been making this same smoothie for like 10 years.
Yeah, I think for me, the only other thing that I've recently been like kind of vibing with this spring has been just kind of getting into like old 90s rom-coms, especially like a lot of them are like rewatches, but some of them are new. Like, for example, I finally watched Four Weddings and a Funeral for the first time because I saw this TikTok. That. It was cute. It wasn't the best rom-com I've ever watched, but Hugh Grant is delightful.
Love Hugh Grant. Love 90s Hugh Grant.
Yes, absolutely. Literally, the whole reason I watched it is because I got a TikTok that was like basically a fan cam of Hugh Grant in this movie. Too. Yeah, it's so good.
And I liked it. Hearted it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was the movie it was from.
Yeah, so that all those clips are from that film. And so I was like, I must watch it. And so I did. And he's great. It was such a good time. And it was also just like, even though it wasn't my favorite rom-com of all time, it was like kind of refreshing because it really revolves around this friend group. And mm-hmm. you just kind of get to watch them like grow up together, like as adults, mm-hmm. like kind of come of age mm-hmm. in their like late 20s. Early 30s is what I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. And it's in that sense, it was really different and like fresh and fun. And I really love that. Mm-hmm. And I just like specifically love 90s movies because there's something about like the film that they're shot on yes. that just feels so warm, cozy. Like they're just unsurpassed.
A lot of like sepia almost. Yeah. Like a little bit of like, and I feel like there was this pivot in the 2000s where everything is like darker and colder.
Yeah.
Which maybe will just change again. Yeah. But there was like, there's this beautiful like gauziness almost to like 90s yeah. movies.
Like a dreaminess to them that yeah. I think especially for rom-com or like romance mm-hmm. in general just like really works. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everything's so HD now. And mm-hmm. I just much prefer the like softness of mm-hmm. like these 90s films. So I loved that. And it was kind of nice to watch it because I did watch, like, when it first came out, The Four Weddings and a Funeral TV show, which is actually sensational. If any of you listening have not watched, it is such a good show. And it's basically a spinoff. Like, it takes place, like, years later following mm-hmm. these, like, Americans who like all moved to London. Mm-hmm. And it's got everything. It's so funny. And romantic, and I love all the characters, and I'll probably rewatch that because that's one of my favorite like rom-com television shows. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably rewatch that this spring. But yeah, in general, I just want to like watch just cute, lovey, romantic movies.
That sounds incredible. That's being added to my spring watch list. Say no more. And I did get that BAM cam. I feel like TikTok is doing this thing where it's like reminding me of movies in the past. Like other people are like, I guess maybe people that maybe are a little younger than us are like encountering movies that are from like my childhood because my parents watched them from the 90s or something. Yeah. And like making all these like fan cams about them. I'm like, oh yeah, I did like that movie. Or like, I should rewatch this movie, you know? Mm-hmm. I do feel like the rom-com era might be slow. I think we're kind of entering hopefully into a new phase of rom-com.
Yeah. I hope so. That Julia Roberts, George Clooney one.
Yes.
Is great.
And, like, we have the new Reese Witherspoon, Ashton Kutcher one. Like, some big blockbustery ones, you know? So hopefully this continues. Because I love a rom-com. Mm-hmm. They're so fun. They're perfect. Do we have any other spring favorites or anything else that you're looking forward to this spring that we want to chat about?
I think that's it for me, but I'd love to hear if any of you are listening. If you want to send in some things that you're excited for this spring, you should definitely send us over an email, cozyclubpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear.
We'd love to hear. We're always adding stuff to our list. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's so much to look forward to. This has gotten me so excited for like the next couple of months, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a little vision board. Alrighty, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. And again, if you haven't already, please subscribe if you wanna or leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. And we will see you soon with a new podcast episode soon. Stay cozy.
Bye.
Bye.